like stories. I quite like stories as well. So do you know what? I'm going to tell you one. So I'm going to tell you a story about a guy called Jesus. Now, does everyone know Jesus? Do we know him? Yeah? Yeah. Are we alright with everyone? Adults? Some of you, I'm not sure. I don't think you know them. Him, even. So, I need some people. I need a Jesus. There we go. This is our Jesus for the morning. I also need some disciples. So who wants to come up? Go on then, come and stand up here. Brilliant. So we've got our disciples, and we've got our Jesus. And so can we have two of the kind of taller ones? So Esther and Megan, could you just grab that beautifully handcrafted boat? Some of you may not think it's a boat, but it is. So if you want to grab one end, that would be fantastic. And can I have my water assistant, please? That's you. So if I could just part the sea a little bit here. And if you want to grab an end of your water's there. Okay, so this story is about Jesus. One day, Jesus had been teaching and healing people by the side of a large lake called the Sea of Galilee. Teach and heal, teach and heal. As the evening drew in, Jesus suddenly felt very weary. So Jesus and his disciples climbed into their small fishing boat. Do you want to take the fishing boat down there? Awesome. The water was quite calm at this point. Leaving the crowds behind them, they set sail across the water. Jesus lay down in the boat with his head on a cushion. The lapping waves and the gentle rocking of the boat was very soothing, and soon he had fallen fast asleep. You can hear him snoring. Excellent. As Jesus lay sleeping, stormy clouds gathered and the sky turned black. The gentle breeze turned into a fierce wind, and the calm surface of the lake became a raging sea. Huge waves came crashing down on the little boat. The disciples were frantic. How frantic? Ah! And they knew they were in big trouble. They all shouted together, "We're going to drown." They wailed and they called out to Jesus for help. Those that were close to him were amazed to find that despite what was happening, Jesus was still asleep, snoring. The disciples shook Jesus. The disciples shook Jesus. The disciples didn't shake him that violently to wake him up, saying, "Lord, Lord, we're in a terrible storm. Don't you care if we all die?" Jesus stood up in the boat and looked out on the vast waters of water looming overhead. He watched the sails being buffeted by the fierce winds. Then, showing no signs of fear, no signs, Jesus spoke to the winds and the waves. He simply said, "Be still." Just as suddenly as the wind started, the wind died down. The surface of the water changed from a swirling mass of waves to a calm, glassy pool. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Why were you so afraid? Do you still have no faith or peace?" The disciples did not answer him. They just stared in wonder and amazement. Stare in wonder and amazement. Open mouths, big eyes. That's fantastic. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. Even the winds and the waves obeyed his commands. The end. Do you want to give a bow? Disciples, give a bow. Give a bow. Give a bow. Fantastic. Brilliant.
I want to tell you a couple of stories as well. It's really one story. It's about two different people who I used to know over 15 years ago when I was first living in London, and then when I moved up to live at a place called Chasenet Terrace near Birmingham. Chase is just to the east and the northeast of Birmingham, and it's where I went to be vicar for the first time after I'd finished my training. And when I was in Chase Terrace was a little mining village on the edge of an area called the Potteries up north of Birmingham. And it was a tiny little village. And we had in the village a man who I'm going to call Mike. And one day I went for a walk with Mike. He finished work early and he came and he joined me and we went for a walk on an area called Chase Terrace. Now Chase Terrace is a big natural area, it's a moorland, it's now part of a national park, it's a beautiful area, very desolate, very remote, very quiet. And we went up there and we walked for about an hour and a half and then sunset was coming, it was just starting to get dark. So can I have a sunset? There we go. And it was a summer's day and we'd been walking, we'd got some sandwiches and we were going and we were just talking. Mike had asked if he could talk to me. And so we'd gone for a walk on the chase, on Cannock Chase, just at sunset. The birds were singing. We couldn't hear any traffic at all. Could see no planes in the sky and hear no noise and no roads, nothing nearby. We were right out in the middle of the chase and it was completely still. It was that moment just at sunset where the wind seems to die down a bit and it was really, really quiet. And Mike was a phenomenally successful man. I can almost guarantee that if you're over 20 years old, you will have seen some of Mike's work. Mike was a senior executive for an advertising agency. If you watch Formula One racing, you will have seen one of his advert campaigns on the cars that are racing. If you watch television, you will have seen some of his adverts on telly. If you go to the cinema, you will have seen some of his adverts at the cinema. He was incredibly successful and he'd worked his way up to be the very top of this company, which was from London. And on a Monday morning, he'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, he'd get on a train and he'd go down to London and he'd work and then he'd come back and he had so much money. He lived in a big house, they'd got several cars, he was incredibly rich. They had a second home overseas. And here we were on Cannock Chase in the complete stillness with this very, very successful man who had everything the world could offer. And he wasn't happy. And the reason he wasn't happy was because he didn't have time to enjoy the life that he could afford. And even as we were talking, he had a mobile phone. And he kept, it wasn't like this, this is 1995, so he had a mobile phone. And he kept checking to make sure it got a signal, in case his office needed to get hold of him. And he kept looking at it to make sure the phone hadn't gone while we were talking. And he was telling me that the very first laptop computers were just starting to become available for general use. And he was telling me how he was going to get one, so that when he was at the house, his house that was overseas, he could keep up with work. And he couldn't see there was a connection between all of that and the fact that he wasn't happy. He'd got all the money in the world, but he wasn't happy. And the reason he wasn't happy was that he was having family trouble. Really, he was away so much, he wasn't able to put the time he should do into his family. And things were going wrong. So here was a man, we were sat in the middle of this beautiful landscape. The birds were singing, not a sound apart from the birds, maybe just a gentle breeze. It was lovely summer's evening. The most peaceful setting you can imagine in the world. And he had no peace. He had no peace because he didn't really have his priorities sorted out in his life. What was really important to him? And at that time, his job was taking all of his time. I want to tell you about another friend of mine. I'll call him Dave. These are two real people, but I've changed their names because some of my old friends still listen to the internet and listen to the sermons. But I had another friend called Dave. Now, Dave was in his 60s. He'd been a vicar in the Church of England ever since he was in his very early 20s. And he lived in a really, really rough, tough, run-down housing estate in South London. It was a place called Deptford. very close to Peckham and to quite close to Brixton and that part of South London. Can we have a picture of a housing? There we go. And that's the sort of area that Dave lived in. And he'd been vicar there for about 10 years. And he had metal grills on the vicarage windows because the house kept getting broken into. Burglars kept coming and seeing the vicarage and thinking, oh, that's a nice big house. There must be lots of stuff in there. And they kept trying to break in. So he had to have metal grills on his house. And he had metal grills all over the church because vandals kept trying to break into the church and smash it up and steal things. And the estate around his church and around his vicarage was quite run down, and so the council had started to knock it down to build new houses. And so he lived in the middle of this big open area of just bricks and broken down houses and smashed up places. And he'd had a very sad last few years. He had a son who was a teenager who died. And he had a heart condition. And I used to go to see him, to learn how to pray. He was my mentor, and I used to go once a week and sit and spend an hour with him to learn how to pray from him. Because in the middle of this rough area, with everything that was going wrong, he didn't have much money, his church wasn't very rich, and he didn't have much money, and he couldn't keep a car because it kept getting stolen, and everything that was going on. You know, he was the most peaceful man I think I've ever met. He used to go and teach monks how to pray. That was one of the jobs he had in the diocese, in the area we worked. Because he had this incredible peace inside, and he'd learned something about praying. So here's my two friends. Mike sat on a hillside on the moor with not a sound around, just the birds and the fresh air, and he had no peace at all. And he was worried about the future, and he was worried about his business, and he was worried about his family, and he was worried about all sorts of things. And then my other friend, Dave, in the middle of a war zone, really, you would sometimes hear gunshots, and you'd hear the police cars screeching around, and his house getting broken into, and he was sick, and he'd had tragedy. And yet, he was the most peaceful man I knew. Peace, which is what we're thinking about today, doesn't come from what's going on around us. Peace comes from inside. Jesus said to his disciples on the day of the resurrection this: on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the resurrected Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them. Let me breathe on you. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Happiness is based on happenings, things that happen around us. And if we're looking in life for happiness that comes from things that happen to us, from how people treat us or how much we've got or how much stuff we've acquired or how much money, then we're not going to be happy. Peace comes from Jesus. It comes from having the Holy Spirit in us and knowing what it is that God has called us to. My friend Dave knew that God had called him to go to that really rough, tough, difficult area. And because he knew he was where God wanted him and he was doing what God wanted him to do, he had peace. Mike, who was running around, probably wasn't doing exactly what he should be doing, and he had no peace. Look at this, what Jesus says. It says, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." He's not saying, "Peace I give you, now sit still and be quiet." He's saying, "Peace I give you, now you've got a job to do. I'm calling you to do something. But peace is going to be with you." Peace comes from being in the middle of God's will for our lives, of doing what God wants us to do. And it comes from Jesus. Peace doesn't come from what the world can give us. Because we can be sat in the quietest place in the world and have no peace. Peace comes from the Holy Spirit being inside of us. We've been thinking over the last few family services about the gifts that God gives. We thought about love in the first week. And we thought about joy. And now we're thinking about peace. And peace comes from one place. If you need peace, if you want to know joy, if you want to know love, it comes from one place. It comes from God.
Lord, we want to thank you for being with us this morning. And we just want to ask that you'll be with us as we leave this place. That we will be people of peace. And Father, we just ask that you'll be with our friends and our family today. And send us out with your Spirit in us. Amen.